Hare Krishna. I welcome all of you to this narration about Krishna's and Balaram's meal and other pastimes which they performed in the evening. The evening meal was something quite lively. They were dressed in nice cloth, and then Krishna and Balaram came in the dining hall. There's a special hall for this. And Yashoda seated them and served them fragrant cold water. After all, they had come from a day in Braj, and they must have been thirsty, and tasty sweets, and then different types of foods. And Mother Yashoda always encouraged them to eat, but what encouraged them very much was when Madhu Mangal made these funny sounds while he was eating his food. And he would make jokes, and I will tell you a little bit about the jokes in the spiritual world. He said, "Oh mother, if one smells these cakes, he will disregard heaven and liberation." He pretends to be a sense enjoyer who just forgets everything when there's good food. "I've cursed the Creator because he has not given me an unlimited number of hungry bellies. And in my opinion, anyone who says, 'I don't want any more sweets,' is the worstest of offenders." So when Krishna and the other boys heard this, they joked so much that they laughed at they apparently spilled some of the food. It is said in Krishnaika Kumudi that Krishna and Balaram's clothing and ornaments had become spoiled from eating, so they exchanged them for fresh ones. You can see, it's very lively. We know when someone laughs while he eats simultaneously, there's no guarantee where the food which he has in his mouth will go. Is it going in or is it going out? So apparently here something spoiled the clothing and ornaments from Krishna Balaram. And all these things should not be measured with material logic. This is the highest culture. It is the highest rasa which Krishna exchanged with the cowherd boys. It's called the Sakya Rasa, as you all know, and there's great intimacy in it and no formality, and therefore yes, it is absolutely free. Now the time changes. We will listen to what happens at the time from 6:48 to 8:24. Now it's really becoming evening in Vrindavan. The goddess of the evening arrived, being dressed in the colors of the setting sun. She approached Krishna quickly to serve him with the utmost attachment. Birds returned from their different activities. They came from all directions to settle safely in their nests. This can be seen still in Boma Vrindavan, just as it becomes sunset. Especially the green parrots fly in flocks over this beautiful tinged sky, and also the peacocks return to their nests. The ghee lamps were lit before every house as the directions began to turn grey in the absence of the sunlight. So at this time, the village of Vrindavan becomes very lively because it is time for milking the cows. And during this time, the calves are brought to the cows so that they happily give milk. And the calves were crying. And this crying was beyond all material illusion. When Krishna came close to the Goshala, the lamp lights were flickering and there was a loud chorus of the cows mooing as they could sense Krishna's coming closer. These are lights which flickered and were burning everywhere, and the mooing of the cows resembled the sound or the impressions of an arati ceremony. Oh, where there's waving of light and great singing. Krishna came close to the Goshala. He was now in his evening dress and he wore jeweled sandals. Krishna looked at the cowsheds, which large crystal pillars. He was very satisfied to see how well the cows were taken place, care, and he smiled in great satisfaction. So this was all seen by the beautiful gopis. See, the cow shed or goshala, I should say, is near Pavan Sarovar, and there is a big tower from where different devotees could look out for Krishna and see him as he returned. So the gopis had gone on this tower and could see Krishna from above. There was Srimati Radharani surrounded with Lalita and Vishaka. And Vishaka said, "Oh Radha, look. All those cows are anxiously waiting for Krishna to speak." You know, Krishna knows, as we heard in one of the Kartik inspirations, the cow's language, and he speaks to them fluently in their language. So they were waiting for Krishna to address them and call out their names. And whenever they heard their names, they all ran forward to greet Krishna. And Lord Krishna, who is known as Govinda, since the time when he protected the cows by lifting the Govardhan hill, he was wearing this name Govinda. Before he was called Abhiram, he who totally satisfies everyone. But now Govinda, the protector of the cows, and he was so happy that there were tears showing in his eyes while he stroked the cows on their backs to recognize them all individually. I always appreciate this, inclination of Krishna to respond or reciprocate with all of his devotees, and in this case, the cows who are great devotees have taken the birth in Braj. Then Krishna squatted on the ground. He was holding a golden bucket between his knees, and Vishakha said, just see in this milk bucket, Syama's, George's face shows. It seems his face is like the moon who was rising from another ocean of milk. The original ocean of milk, but this is the also another small ocean. And Vishakha described in detail how Krishna was going about to milk. He was first taking the teat and the atta and squirted it in such a way that he worshipped Mother Earth. And then he wetted his fingers with a few more drops of milk. And then he moved his hands up and down. It's described that the milk came in such quantities that it made a splashing sound in the buckets. Shana, shana, shana. This is particularly very dear to me, because in my childhood up to youth, I was also milking cows each day in an enclosure. I had to first drive them together or bring them together in a smaller place so that they were not all over. And then I sat down and also milked the cows. And I still remember to this day how, let me say, happy the cows felt when they were relieved of the heavy burden in their milk udders. They felt so relieved, but only if there was a good relationship. If there was no good relationship, I remember the cows were kicking me, and on some occasions I came back with blue, I don't know how to say it in English, Blutergüsse, you know, when the blood accumulates and then your legs and everything becomes blue. Yes, I still remember they would only trust someone who was near and dear to them to come so close as to touch them and relieve them from the heavy burden. So it's almost like an affectionate relationship which goes on during this time. And Krishna was very, very, had tears in his eyes, we hear, when he greeted his cows. The unmilked cows who were standing about and watching how Krishna milked one of them were extremely eager that, when is my time coming? And their big ears were raising up. So Krishna was very engaged, and the milk squashed in the bucket, and his hips and thighs, beautiful hips, were marked with pure white drops of milk. Now, the cows and calves also felt this moment to be very intimate, and they had tear-filled eyes, and they were bowing down with their heads to look and to catch a good glance of Lord Syam's beautiful, youthful form. So then, the cowherdmen were happily engaged after the milking was going on. They were making different commands. Take it away, come, bring it here, do it quickly, give it to me, go. So in this way there was a lot of technical milking conversation going on. And there were so many cows, my dear devotees, that even the most learned pandit in mathematics will find it difficult to count the exact number. And of only the cows that were as blackish as Krishna himself, what to speak of all the other multicolored cows. So when Krishna finished milking the cows, he left always a little bit for the calves, the quantity which was healthy. See, calves sometimes drink too much and then they develop diarrhea and other such things. So Krishna calculated this is the right amount so that they will be nicely nourished. Now, while this was going on, one confidential boyfriend gave a signal to Krishna, maybe by looking, maybe by showing his hand in a signaling way. He had seen Radharani and had pointed out to Krishna, she's hiding there on the tower. Krishna was very happy that Radha is here, and he went very eagerly to meet her next to the watchtower. Krishna returned home after milking the cows, but on especially hot summer nights, Krishna would bathe in one part of the lake and Radha at another part, and then Krishna very expertly and dexterously dived and swam underwater all the way to the opposite side of the Pavan Sarova, where Radha was bathing, and very happily embraced her underwater, so that only Radha knew and the others would not know. So this shows us the relationship or the deep affection of Krishna for Srimati Radharani, also of Radha's affection to watch Krishna from that high point in the watchtower. And I wanted to end this katha by saying how much devotees in Vrindavan appreciate Maharaj Vrishabhanu's daughter Srimati Radhika, because it is she who brings out from Krishna the highest amount of love. Just like the cows released their milk in the presence of Sri Krishna, so the highest amount of love becomes released from Krishna when in the presence of Radha. And therefore he says, I stay in Vrindavan because of Radharani. Devotees approach this sacred relationship in a very humble and respectful way. There is one great devotee, you all know him, Prabodhananda Saraswati, who stayed in Kamyavan and wrote a very, very wonderful glorification of Srimati Radhika, a very nice book, Shri Radha Rasa Sudanidhi. And he prayed for something very rare. He said, when can I become the broom for sweeping the courtyard of the cottage in which Maharaj Brishabhanu's daughter has her playful pastimes. He wants to become a broom. Because then he can watch from the humble service position, Srimati Radharani. For everyone who wants to enter Vrindavan Dham, there is only one door. It is the door of devotional service. There are many services you can do in Vrindavan Dham, especially hearing a chanting about the divine couple, which is considered to be the beginning of the ninefold process of devotional service. You can do parikrams for that end. But whatever you do, this is the point, it should not be done as a tourist or as a visitor from a foreign country who goes to a foreign place, another foreign place, India. No, no, it should be done in the mood of coming home and bringing a heart with you of service, of loving service. Great devotees are so humble, they say, I beg to get just one opportunity, and if this means I should be a broom, it is really the best thing for me, because I'm a very humble servant, and in this way I can maybe clean the courtyard of the place where Srimati Radharani meets Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very, very much. Tomorrow we will hear more news of Vrindavan. This is the Vrindavan news station here. We will hear of further evening pastimes, which are very wonderful to hear. Hare Krishna.